The Edgar Bergen Show with Charlie McCarthy.
I'll clip you, so help me, Bergen. I'll mull you down.
It's Sunday night. It's time again for Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Smeard, and Ray Noble and his orchestra, transcribed from Hollywood. Tonight, our guests are Fred McMurray and Anita Gordon. And now, here is Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy.
Oh, it's a good day for singing a song. It's a good day.
Young man, hoist the storm warnings. I want to talk to you.
Well, old Ironsides got his battle flags flying.
Old Ironsides?
Well, now, Bergen, you can't keep that girdle a secret forever.
Do you know what time you came in last night?
No, sir. I'm awfully sorry, sir, but my Mickey Mouse watch stopped.
Oh, I see.
I forgot to put cheese in it.
Were you out after midnight?
Well, I'll tell you, Bergen. Could you rephrase that question so there's an escape hatch?
No, I can't. I want to know what you were doing out until midnight.
Oh, then you already know.
Yes, I do.
No, you are a sneaky one, aren't you?
Yes. Well, what is it, Charlie? What's your story?
Well, I'll tell you. I was at the library.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, that was it. Gee, that was easy.
But the library closes at 9.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah. You were out till 12. How do you count for the other 3 hours?
The librarian.
Oh.
That's a good try, huh?
Yeah. Another lie.
Was it really?
Yes. Young man, every time you lie, the devil laughs.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I must keep the old boy in stitches, eh?
I'm afraid, Charlie, that lying is your weak point.
I do it rather well.
No. It's your vulnerable spot. Your Achilles heel.
Who's a heel?
Surely you know the story of Achilles. It's told in school.
Oh, well, that's why I never heard it.
Yeah. The story was a favorite among the old Greeks.
Well, go find yourself an old Greek and tell it to him.
No. Now, let's see, how shall I start?
From a crouch.
No.
I think you're going to have to make a quick getaway.
No. Many, many moons ago.
Many moons ago?
Yes.
So what's the matter? What happened with Once Upon a Time?
Do you want to tell it?
No, sir.
All right.
I don't want to hear it either. No. Love to heckle.
All right. Many moons ago, there was a little boy named Achilles. And to make him invulnerable, his mother took him to the River Styx.
To the what?
The River Styx.
Oh. At low tide, they sometimes do.
The river is mythological.
Mythological?
Oh, yes.
Oh. Is that anywhere near the Mississippi?
No. Now, Charlie, if you interrupt, I can't tell the story.
Oh, you do catch on quick, don't you?
Yeah. I'll go on.
Oh, you're stubborn if not talented.
Yeah. Now, let's see. Well, now, where was I?
You were standing there.
Yes.
Laying an egg.
Yes, all right.
Well, now, where was I? You were up the creek without a story.
Oh, yes. When Achilles' mother got to the river, she held him by the heel, plunged him in head first. Do you know why?
Yeah, the salmon were running, and she couldn't afford bait.
No. No, it was to make him invulnerable.
Oh?
Achilles grew up into a strong, powerful man, with huge muscles rippling in his manly chest and arms like this.
Watch it, Bergen, watch it. You're straining your flab.
No. Nothing could harm Achilles. Arrows bounced off his chest. Spears could not pierce him. But one day,
he was crossing a street. Woman driver, bang, that's all.
No. One day, he met his worst enemy, Paris. And Paris pulled an arrow out of his quiver and aimed carefully and...
He shot an arrow into the air. It punctured Achilles. But I can't say where.
he shot Achilles in the heel, and the wound was fatal. And as Achilles lay dying, do you know what he said?
My feet are killing me.
No. As he lay dying, he said, it can't be true. I refuse to die. I won't die.
Oh, go ahead and die already. You louse up the story.
No. But as Paris stood triumphantly over him, Achilles' eyes...
That does it.
Yeah, all right. As Paris stood over him, Achilles' eyes finally closed.
And that was the last time he saw Paris. All
right. He died because his heel was his weakness. And like Achilles, you have your weakness, telling lies.
And you have yours, Bergen, telling stories. Yes.
There are many bright moments in Charlie's career, and one of the brightest is Anita Gordon. It's a pleasure tonight to welcome her back to the show.
Can I tell? All of your shirts are unsightly. All of your ties are a crime. If, dear, in you I picked rightly, it's the very first time you came along. Say, I think you're wonderful. I think you're grand, but I may be wrong. World. All of your shirts are unsightly. All of your ties are a crime. If, dear, in you I pick rightly, it's the very first time you came along. Saying, I think you're wonderful. I think you're grand.
I'm walking behind you on your wedding day. She hooked you, not me. It's better that way. Oh, Mr. Bergen.
Yes. You look like you've got something to tell me.
Yeah, I have. There was something. Sort of glanced off my mind just then. there was something I wanted to tell you. Yeah, must have been something.
Well, what is it?
Well, let's see. It must have been something. There must have been something. Yeah, must have been something.
Well, come on. Now, your mind is wandering.
Well, that's okay. It's okay. Leave it alone. It'll come home. Dickory, doctor. Dickory, oh, my.
Mortimer, now think real hard.
You know, it hurts when I think that hard. Yeah.
The trouble is, your brain is rusty.
Well. You know, I think the water is getting in through my ears. Yeah. I see. They ain't making them the way they used to.
No, I see. Well, what was your news that you want to tell me?
Well, let's see. Oh, yeah. You know, Mr. Noble. Yeah, well, it seems that he's going to buy a farm.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Ray Noble is going to buy a farm.
Is that so? Yeah. Well, who told you?
Well, you did.
Oh, that blabbermouth, yeah.
I wonder why Ray wants to be a farmer.
Well, when you gotta grow, you gotta grow, you know. Yeah. Green thumb stuff, yeah.
Well, I don't see why you're so excited about that news.
Well, I'm thinking of selling him my farm.
Oh, that's it. Well, perhaps you can sell your farm to Ray, yeah. Hey, what price are you asking?
Well, I'd like a good price for the house and barn. But the soil, I'd sell him the ground dirt cheap. Is that... That was a gasser. Yeah, you know. Of course, it didn't come in. No.
Well, I'm sure you'll be able to get a better price for your farm if you go about it the right way.
Yeah.
For instance, when you meet Ray, don't be too anxious. Don't talk about selling your farm right away. Talk about, you know, the weather.
All right. Do you think he might want to buy some of that, too?
No, I don't. And if he starts to pin you down about any of the bad features of your farm,
just play dumb. Yo, I'll force myself. Yeah.
But if he tries to take advantage of you, let him know that you weren't born yesterday.
I'll show him my birth certificate. Yeah.
Here he comes. Now, here comes Rick. Now, don't forget. You know, don't forget what I told you. I'll be...
Oh, hi, Edgar. Yeah. Hello, Mortimer, old top.
Oh, hello, Ray. Oh, bottom.
First talk about the weather.
Okay. Well, I say there, Mr. Novel.
Yes.
Nice weather. Yeah. Nice weather for buying farms, ain't it?
Evade the issue.
Oh, okay. Nice weather for evading the issue, ain't it? No.
I heard you, Mortimer, and actually, I am interested in buying a farm, as it happens. Is yours for sale?
Yeah.
Well, what's your price?
Well, confidentially, you can get it for about half of what I'm asking.
No.
I say, Mortimer, now really, old boy, you drive a hard bargain.
No.
Oh, yes, I insist upon paying twice what it's worth.
Oh, so that's your game, eh? I knew you was a city slicker all the time. No.
Ray, actually, Mortimer has a wonderful farm. He's got cows, chickens, ducks, and turkeys.
My, he's well stocked.
Well, thanks. You got a nice figure, too.
No. Well, no, seriously, Mortimer, I would like to see your farm. How far from Snurdville is it now?
Well, it's about 5 miles if you drive real fast. I'll tell you how to get there if you don't mind getting lost.
Well, just tell me how I'd find it.
Yeah, well, I'm coming to it. Well, first you make a U-turn.
U-turn.
And then you'll make another U-turn.
Another U-turn.
You better make another U-turn. Don't make any more. I'm getting car sick.
Well, never mind, old boy. After all, it doesn't sound very accessible. I mean, a man would have to be a fool to buy a farm like that.
So.
Over 17,000 American communities are participating in the annual voluntary collection for the Community Chess and United Funds. In the typical community, in an average year, 40 out of every 100 families receive direct benefits from the cash collected at this time. All families benefit indirectly because Community Chess and the United Funds make every community a better, healthier place in which to live. Give the United Way, and then rest assured that your money will aid the handicapped, maintain young people's clubs, support hospitals, clinics, and guidance centers in your community. Give now, the United Way.
Hey, Bergie, what's the thing you're attaching to the microphone?
It's a lie detector, and our engineer rigged it up.
A lie detector?
Yes. Every time someone tells a lie, it rings a bell. It ought to cure you of your habit.
I don't have to worry about that thing. I never told a lie in my life. It's playing my theme song.
You see, Charlie, from now on, you'll have to be very careful. It's a very clever device.
Hello, fellas.
Oh, Fred McMurray. Wow. Well, how are you, Fred? My, you're looking good.
Well, that wasn't the bells of St. Mary.
Well, Edgar, you're looking very well, too.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you look 10 years younger than the last time I saw you.
You hit the jackpot on that one.
Hey, Edgar, what's going on?
Oh, it's nothing. I was just trying to cure Charlie of his lying. But I'm afraid I'll have to take him over my knee and give him an old-fashioned paddling.
Go ahead. I'm very good at taking out splinters.
Oh. Why, you long, lean, and if you could memorize lines, you'd be on television.
Television? Yeah. That's CinemaScope for mice. Yeah.
Well, actually, Fred's been too busy. He just finished making a movie out of that great bestseller, The Caine Mutiny.
The Caine Mutiny? Don't mention that book to me.
What do you mean?
Why, the author stole that story from me 6 months after he wrote it.
Charlie, stop it.
That's true. I got the manuscript right here. Come on, Fred. I want the world to hear it.
What have we got against the world?
Well, fine, here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are ashamed to present Master Charles McCarthy's answer to the Caine Mutiny.
The Umbrella Uprising. Oh, no.
This is the story of the Patagonian Navy and its men.
My name is Lieutenant McMurray, executive officer of the SS Umbrella Minesweeper. It was a rough life, and our captain didn't make it any easier. He was mean, harsh, bloodthirsty, cruel, ruthless. And besides, he cheated at Scrabble. He carried a spare E up his sleeve. The men hated him. He was so tough he used to chew nails. Theirs. I'll never forget the day when trouble came to a head. I was on the bridge with the captain when he made the fateful announcement.
Now hear this. Hear this. This is the captain. The entire ship is confined to quarters. Rations are cut. Extra duty for all hands. And every man will receive 40 lashes. And now for a brief commercial.
Captain McCarthy runs the ship. He won't take any of your lip. He beats you till you're black and blue. Twice as much as other ships do. Chicken, 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 chicken.
Everybody, and don't forget, tune in tomorrow when I'll be back with some of your favorite punishment.
Lieutenant McMurray, here are the orders for today. Seaman Martin has to peel potatoes in the galley for the next 2 weeks.
Well, but Captain, he's been peeling potatoes for a whole month. Isn't he finished yet?
No. I got another guy in the next room painting him brown and shoving him back. I'm a tricky louse.
Oh, how do you do, Captain? Aye, sir, port starboard, heave-ho, and all that sort of rot, you know, that we sailors are supposed to say.
Seaman Noble, you scurvy dog, what do you want?
Well, sir, old chap.
Yes?
I've been shoveling coal in this engine room for 3 months, and I'd like to speak to you about my shovel.
What is it?
Well, may I have one?
Why, that's mutiny. McMurray hanged that man from the highest yardarm by his mustache.
But I say so, wouldn't that be splitting hairs?
Out, get that man out of here.
Captain, you can't keep driving the crew like that. We haven't had shore leave in 3 years. Why, we've even forgot what a woman looked like.
I don't believe it.
Oh, no? Below deck, we've got a picture of John Paul Jones and Marilyn Monroe.
Oh.
We don't know which is which.
Why, you fool, John Paul Jones is the one wearing the hat.
Oh, God.
What's the matter?
I've been kissing the wrong one.
Oh. What a sailor. Turn in your tattoo. You're through. And for your stupidity, give the entire crew extra duty. Have them polish the ship.
But, Captain, they've already polished everything on the ship.
Oh, they have? Well, then have them polish each other.
Captain, Seaman Bergen reporting.
Oh, brother, what a polished job this is. Let Murray make sure he keeps his head below deck. He'll have the other ship signaling back at us.
Captain, we've just sighted the island of Tahiti. 4,000 beautiful native girls are waiting on the shore to meet us.
4,000 girls? Hey, where are my binoculars? Wow! Boy, look at that tall one. Look at her shake.
You dope, that's a palm tree.
I thought it was a girl. It's not wearing a hat.
Oh! Stand by, McMurray. I have an announcement for the men.
Now hear this. We have just reached Tahiti, and there are 4,000 beautiful native girls on the beach. Hooray! Therefore, I'm canceling all shore leave. Are you mad at me, fellas?
While I turned the hose on the men to cool them off, the captain went ashore. 3 days later, when he came back on ship, he was in a wonderful mood. I'll never forget his first words.
McMurray, give each man on the ship 80 lashes and a pint of vanilla ice cream.
What?
Well, that's just to show them that I'm not all bad. Now carry my duffel bag to my cabin.
Aye, aye, sir. Oh, hey, it's heavy. Sir, what have you got in this duffel bag?
Oh, just some coconuts I bought on shore. Watch it now, you fool. The bag is starting to rip.
Oh. Hello, fellows.
Darn.
Wow, what a lovely bunch of coconuts.
How do you like that? The clerk at the supermarket gave me the wrong package.
Smuggling a girl on board. Captain, there must be some explanation for this.
All right, let's hear it.
Captain, I'm frightened. All the men are staring at me.
Don't worry. Most of them think you're John Paul Jones.
Captain, you just can't do this.
Oh, tall and dark one. I like you. Come closer to me. Let me put my arms around you.
Stand back, woman.
Why?
I listen to those shipboard lectures. According to Regulation 737B of the Navy Code, women are forbidden on board ship.
Well, then, over she goes.
The girl?
Oh, no, the code. Remember, I'm master of the ship.
Captain, enemy plane sighted off the port bow. They're coming in at 4 o'clock.
Oh, call me in an hour. It's only 3 now.
They're scraping us, Captain. What should we do?
Stand by to submerge.
But this isn't a submarine.
Details, always details. I'm getting out of here. Where's my private lifeboat?
Captain, you're deserting the ship?
Yeah.
Why, you've got a yellow streak down your back.
No, I'm just wearing my gold braid longer this year.
You're through, McCarthy. I'm taking over. Men, your battle stations. Fire when ready. We repulsed the enemy at the cost of 5 of our sailors and 1 sound man. I thought I'd be a hero, but instead Captain McCarthy had me brought up on charges of mutiny.
The Naval Court of the 32nd District is now in session. Admiral Kirkwood, presiding judge. The court will rise. The judge is now entering. The court will rise. The judge is now entering.
Sorry I'm late, boy. I had to lend Governor Warren my robe. Well, what's the first case?
The first case is the Navy against Lieutenant McMurray.
I'll take the Navy in 6 points. Yeah, excuse me. Must be legal business. Hello. Yes, this is the judge. I see. Well, give me 20 to win on Sea Dreamer in the 4th at Bay Meadow.
But, Judge, I'm in trial for my life.
I guess you're a little nervous, boy. Here, have a cigarette.
Oh, thanks.
Match?
Thank you.
Okay. That'll be $50 fine for smoking in court. I'm a stinker, but I need the money. Got a sure thing coming up in the 5th. Well, who's the first witness, clerk?
The captain of the SS Umbrella.
All right. Will the captain of the SS Umbrella stand? Umbrella stand. Oh, I wish I was dead.
Likewise, I'm sure. Come on, Judge. Now, let's go on with the trial. I want to tell my story.
Well, we're going to hear from the ship's log.
Yeah.
Now, let's have order. Order in the court.
Ouch, my fingers.
That'll teach you to keep your hands off my racing form.
Please, Judge, my life is at stake. I appeal to you as a man.
You don't even appeal to me as a woman. I need a drink.
A drink?
Sure, boy. This is a high court.
I can see justice ain't the only thing that's blind. But, Your Honor, we know Lieutenant McMurray is guilty. The only question is the right punishment. What do you think he should pay?
864, 10, 340 across the board.
Well, I don't know if he can go in the mud.
All right, all right. Let's get on with the race. I mean the case. Next witness of the stand.
Hello, Judge.
Court's adjourned. I'll interview this witness in my chamber.
I object.
Go ahead, as long as she doesn't.
Let her speak. Go ahead, my little Tahitian flower. I'm counting on you to clear my name.
I will tell the truth.
Next case, next witness.
Let her talk. Let her talk. Her story will prove that Captain McCarthy was unfit to command the ship, and that it was necessary to relieve him from duty. How do you like that? The one line of plot, and I get stuck with it.
Your Honor, Captain McCarthy smuggled me aboard ship in his duffel bag.
What? Why, in my 30 years as an admiral, I've never heard of anything like this. Clerk?
Yes, sir.
Go out and get me a larger duffel bag. I'm going back to sea.
Don't do it. They'll never get you through the canal.
Your Honor, that girl's testimony was only another instance in which Captain McCarthy was derelict in his duty. And that is why, when the enemy planes came overhead, I had to rise to the occasion and take command. You are Navy, and I am Navy. And you will understand what it means to be standing on the bridge of a ship with the salt spray blowing in your face and the tumultuous ocean heaving and churning around you.
Get me a Mother's Hill, boy. I'm getting sick.
Your Honor, what are the findings of this court-martial? Let's have your decision.
All right. Case dismissed on account of non-compos mentis.
Non-compos mentis?
Yeah, he's running in the six. I just got time to make it. Goodbye.
The beautiful haunting folk song, Black is the Color of My True Love's Hair, provides the background and the title for tomorrow evening's study in suspense on CBS Radio. You'll meet Jeff Chandler as a sailor being drawn to destruction by his love for a black-haired lady. So accept this as your invitation to one of the most unusual suspense stories ever unfolded. And music of a different kind will also be on hand tomorrow evening on most of these same stations when Vaughn Monroe and his new partners, the Sauter Finnegan Orchestra, bring you their versions of April in Paris, Rags to Riches, and Campus Songs of Duquesne University. Now, here is Edgar Bergen.
I would like to thank Fred McMurray and Anita Gordon for joining us tonight. And before we go, it's time for another bit of sage advice from our rural philosopher, Mortimer. And here it is, Snurd's words for the birds.
Speak, Mortimer. Rubbing alcohol doesn't make it taste any better.
Thank you, Mortimer. Until next Sunday, good night, everyone.
Remember to listen to Edgar Bergen with Johnny McCarthy, Mortimer Sturt, Ray Lovell, and the entire ensemble every Sunday over the CBS radio network at this same time. Fred McMurray can now be seen in the Warner Brothers production, The Moonlighter. Tonight's Edgar Bergen Show with Viola Vaughn and Jack Kirkwood was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Sam Pierce. Script by Norman Paul, Zeno Klinker, and Cy Rose. This is Bill Baldwin speaking.